Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I'm going to ask you a question. What's the 10th letter of the alphabet? Young, smart kids aren't allowed to answer. Here's my point. You've got to, yeah, there you go. Oral said, he said, man, you ever write a book, write it to a 12-year-old, write it to a sixth grader, because that's the reading level of most men. And that's not bad. It's not bad that you move your lips while you read. Listen, you had to, it took you a little bit to get there because you had to go through the steps. You had to go, okay, what's the 10th letter? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. Okay, it's J. But this is how, and I'm telling you, this is how God works. God works, it's line upon line, it's precept upon precept, it's steps. And what I'm kind of introducing today, and we're going to spend the next few weeks on, is just clearly defined, just next steps. Man, you want to get better? Man, do you want your life, the enrichment of heaven in your life? I believe that requires simple steps. And you know what? Some of you guys will think, well, but I've got to take a leap. Man, I'm about to take a leap of faith. Don't. Faith isn't a leap. God's not asking, listen, God's not going to lead my steps this way, like this. He's not going to lead my steps to where it goes down or there's not a platform there. God's always going to lead me in firm footing. See, here's how it works. Remember, the man who builds his house on the rock is like the kingdom of God heaven is like a likened to a man who builds his house on the rock that he builds his life on these sayings of mine. See, that's what that house is. It's interesting. The plurality of the house of the Lord in our house. When the word refers to our house, it's on one hand, it's our life, and on the other hand, it's the church. And I believe the two are intermingled. I believe as the church goes, so our life goes. As our life goes, so the church goes. And you know what? Man, those linked together change a nation. Those linked together change a community. Those linked together, man, strengthen a family and a marriage. See, and that's how we have to look at this. But next steps is pivotal. Man, what God wants to do with us, and it's interesting, I was talking to a guy a Friday, a dear friend. And I could tell he was struggling in his heart. And he's probably struggled for the last couple of years. And I asked him, I said, man, how are you doing? He goes, well, yeah, I'm doing okay. I said, how are you doing with the Lord? And I said, man, are you strong in the Lord? He goes, man, I can't see it from here. That was his response. I'm like, oh, really? I said, let me ask you something. In the last year, how much weight have you lost in the last year? He said, I lost 100 pounds. Okay, now think about those two responses. One response is, I can't see it from here. And the other response is, 100 pounds. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's easier for me to find the Lord than it is to lose 100 pounds. Anybody with me on that? I mean, and all the fat people said, I mean, that slipped. But You can talk about culture. Don't be talking about my fat. But see, the problem with this is it's all about next steps. I asked him. I said, "How'd you lose 100 pounds?" He goes, "Well, no. Just tell me simply." He said, "One at a time. I just lost." And did you ever hit any plateaus? He said, "Yeah." I said, "But what'd you have to do?" He said, "I had to stay on course." See, and what's interesting is in our lives, it's interesting because years and years ago, it's probably been 30 years ago, that the Harvard Business School came up with a graph. And it talked about healthy business, okay? But I believe we can correlate this to our lives and we can correlate this to our walk with the Lord. But healthy business, okay, and you guys in business can relate to this. Healthy business is there's growth and then there's plateau and then there's growth and then there's plateau. And then there's growth, and then there's plateau, and then there's growth. Well, they referred to and they called that plateau crisis. It's interesting because that growth is chaos. So you go from chaos to crisis, to chaos to crisis, growth to plateau. And see, in our lives, we might look and we might think, oh my gosh, this is chaos. Why? Because I'm not in control. See, and I believe that most people, most church people, most Christians, and we know the scripture says from Jesus and Paul that said that we have to pick up that cross and follow him. Yet, you know what? We'll get up of a day and say, man, I'm in a hurry. I got a lot going on. Hey, Jesus, I'm with you. Hey, Jesus, you come alongside me. Man, you're my co-pilot in this deal. Man, this is going to be awesome. You and I, hey, Jesus, come on, we got to go. We're in a hurry. Man, we don't want to be late for this. But hey, why don't you grab me that cross and come on and follow me. And see, I think that's most people. But see, what we've got to understand is in this life, the idea of our lives now is that we've got to pick up that cross and follow him. And in picking up that cross, that's where our growth is. See, there's so many things in our lives that it's crisis, that plateau. Why this cross is so heavy? If I could just get rid of this cross, man, a lot of you guys that are in business, you become a Christian, you're like, man, that's it. I'm dedicating my business to, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys said, man, I'm dedicating my business to God because I'm giving my life to God? Well, that requires us picking up that cross. Now, instead of me being footloose and fancy free, be able to do business however I want, I'm walking into meetings with this cross. I'm walking into these meetings with this Jesus who, on one hand, he's the chief cornerstone, but on the other hand, he's a stumbling block. It messes with people. See, and we say, I'm gonna make Jesus the, and that's the healthy part of it. I understand you want to give your business to God, but I believe the healthy step to take is just to make Jesus the chief cornerstone of that business. Make Jesus the chief cornerstone of your marriage. God, I give you my marriage. I believe this as sure as I'm standing here. God's not gonna do anything you could do. He doesn't operate on our plane. God, and so what we want to do is we want to get worldly. And we want to label something because it's a deflection. And this might bug you. I don't think it's going to offend anybody. But this may very well bug you. The world will call it an addiction. So we'll say, well, God, take this addiction from me. God, take this, God, take this love. And you know what? For some people in here, it might be chocolate. It's like, you know, oh, well, you know, just a little bit. But you know what? That chocolate is not satisfying your spirit, man. Just like heroin's not. What's it doing? It's satisfying your flesh. You know, but so what do? We deny our flesh. See, we don't deflect to keep our flesh in check, which I believe is what most people do. See, it just deflect, and it's like, look, it's not my responsibility. It's not my deal. Here, I'm deflecting this. No, the Bible says we have to crucify our flesh daily. See, I've been serving God now for over 35 years, I think. I've lost track, but it's over 30, I think it is. But so you'd think I'd have it down by now, right? Like Sandy's got to look at me and go, hey, Bill, I love you, right, with all your heart. And you're dedicated, and you're committed. But in those, it's like, hey, we've been married now for almost 31 years. You ought to have it down. You ought to get it by now. But wait a second. He has a flesh that he has to crucify daily. As long as you have breath, you're going to have a flesh. So the Bible says, as long as I have breath, I'm going to praise the Lord. Why? Because when I'm praising the Lord, I'm denying or crucifying my flesh. As long as there's breath in me, man, I'm gonna serve the Lord. I'm gonna praise the Lord as long as there's breath. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because I have to deal with my flesh every stinking day. And see, that's the first step. The first step in our lives now, in us, in the first step to you having a strong, healthy marriage, the first step to you being healthy, the first step to you entering into the wealth that God's promised you. And I know that bugs some people. But let me tell you, I've met a lot more poor people that were religious than rich people. I really have. Man, poor people, man, that becomes a badge of honor, which is religious. Anything I wear, anything I get the credit for, I'm telling you, is religion. And you know what Jesus hated? The only thing the word says he hated was religion. It's like, well, I don't think Christians can be rich, because you know what the Bible says? Yeah, you know what the Bible says? Don't let that wealth have you. How in the world would it not bless God for you to be wealthy when the word says that he has given you the power to get wealth? To what? To establish his covenant. Did you ever think that at some point, maybe his covenant, the covenant that he's made with us and made with the church, that isn't stronger and it's not, and that people aren't running to it? Man, if people would really truly see the God who, listen, all we need in life are two things. All we need in life is love and affirmation. And do you understand all the word does is show God's love and affirming power toward me in my life? What can man do to you? Let every man be a liar and the word of God be the truth. Why? Because we're looking for love and affirmation from people. And see, so you know what I want to do? I want to get up and love and affirm as many people as I can. Man, I want to affirm these parents. Man, these guys are going to be great parents, and we just proclaim great choices, but it's their steps that get them to those great choices. See, we've got to take responsibility for our lives and not deflect, no matter how deep-seated the addiction is. I'm just telling you, in my life, I look at addictions as bad habits. I really do. And you go, well, it's not that simple. Scientifically, really? I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know what God's done in this new creation that he's made me to be? He's given me control of my life. You know what God says? Do you know what the word says I could do? Man, I could jump over a wall. I could leap over a wall and I could speak to a mountain, be removed, to be cast into the sea. Man, I could proclaim my words. The words of my life become the framework of my life now. The words of my life are seeds to my life. Man, how many of you guys want an incredible harvest? You got to change how you talk. To change how you talk, you know what you've got to do? You got to change how you think. To change how you think, you gotta set the word in front of you, and don't look to the left or the right, and keep it on the tip of your tongue. And the Bible says this, day and night. Well, you know what I did? First thing before I do anything, I hear this from people. First thing before I do anything, I get in the word. It's not your Devo. It's not your catechism. It's not your study. It's the word is not, the Bible is not a roadmap for me. The Bible is not an owner's manual for me. The Bible's my life. The Bible says it's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. And there's life in God's word. But you know what? The assembling of ourselves together, let's go there. Let's go to church. There are incredible men and women in this church that love God with all their heart. That I'm telling you have been devoted for years and years and years. Not listen, to God, his word, and his house. And let me tell you, that's the trifecta you want to build your life on. Man, that's what you want. But man, so you begin to resemble the people that you spend most of your time with. See, that's what's hard. That's why a lot of partnerships don't work out. I don't mind partnerships, but you got to know who you're partnering with. See, that's why in our lives that we've got to look for an equal yoke, and that yoke isn't just harnessing us as a beast of burden. That yoke is actually a teaching that we live our lives by. See, you guys that have been here for a while, you could probably have a 2 or 3 minute meeting, and come up. You could boil down the statement of my life. Because it stays consistent, it's there. But you know what? I've got to be around people that keep the statement of my life true at true north, and it's directed toward him. Does that make sense to you? See, this is all about next steps. It's not about son. This isn't about you getting to Z. I don't give one single thought about Austin getting to Z. All I think of is, how about let's get to B. You know, I began to do a Bible study with the coaches at the University of Tulsa years ago, and I did that for 3 or 4 years every Monday morning. It was supposed to be 15 minutes, but it ended up being an hour and a half or 2 hours. It wasn't me sharing the word. I was holding court. It was all these type A personalities, and you know what? They'd want to argue and correct because they're coaches. So you know what? I had to come in. I'd pray for a couple hours before I'd go in there on Mondays. Man, and these guys from all different kind of church background had come, and they'd bring it. I'd say, hey, that's great. Just show me in the Word. You show me in the Word, I buy in. That's all I need to see. I need to see it in the Word. And you know, it's interesting because, man, that's how our life is now. See, we've got to become the thermostats rather than being the thermometers. We've got to become that we can affect change. I believe with all my heart that God has put us on this planet to change the church. Not just to change the world, change the church. Take the limits off, take the blinders off. Man, God's called you not just into your business, God's called not just to make money, God's called you to change the industry. See, that's the agents we need to be, the agents of change. That we're not just the thermometer. Man, anybody can be a thermometer. Anybody can go in and go, oh, things are bad. Oh, look, government's bad. Oh, that guy's a liar. Oh, look, that guy screwed up. Oh, this guy. No, anybody can do that. Get that out of here. I believe it's impossible to do that without being judgmental or critical. And the Bible says, don't judge, don't condemn, forgive, and give. You know, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine from New Mexico that said he got with a group of pastors and men, and he'd pray, and they'd pray once a month, and then they started praying once a week, and then the prayer meeting kind of fizzled, and they started praying once a month again, and people quit coming. And one man in particular quit coming, and it really troubled this pastor friend of mine. I went to Bible school with him. I've known him many, many years, since 1979. He's got a great church in Clovis, New Mexico. So this guy started coming back to the Bible study, the guy that quit coming. And before he came back, he prayed, and he said, God, could you bring him back? God, could you help me with this? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I've called him to pray for you and to look out for you. And so it was like, oh my gosh. So the guy came back in and he said, and after the time of prayer, they prayed for about 45 minutes after the time of prayer. This friend of mine, the pastor, asked the guy, he was actually a business guy, played in the NFL a little bit, just a little bit, but his claim to fame is he intercepted Troy Aikman. So if you intercepted Troy Aikman, whether you just were there for a couple games and on the practice squad, you had a career in the NFL because you intercepted a Hall of Famer. So that's his whole claim of fame. You know, they got the ball that he intercepted, and the pastor will take it out once a year at Super Bowl Sunday, and they throw that ball around in the service. But he asked the guy, he said, why haven't you been here? I know you're committed. He said, I couldn't be here. See, he had a strong gift of discernment in his life, a spiritual gift of discernment. Which I've found in my life is invaluable because of who I'm married to that operates in that. But he said, there was a man there that had a spirit of strife on his life. And he said, the room wasn't big enough for me to get away from him. Everywhere I turned, I'd run into that spirit. This spirit of strife. And he went on and told him about the visions and things that these guys saw now in these prayer meetings, now that the guy's coming back. But he asked the guy, he said, why are you here? He said, you know why I'm here. He said, the Lord told you why I'm here. He said, I know, but I'm asking you. He said, I'm here to pray for you and to look out for you. It's the exact same thing the Lord had told him. He said, Pastor, I've been in prayer and the Lord took me to heaven. And when I hear that, I understand that, you know, there's great stories of guys that, you know, people that had older siblings they didn't know they had or aborted, their parents had an abortion, and then they met the baby in heaven, and it was like their brother or their sister. So I love those, yet I'm slightly skeptical about it. I'm not in doubt. But I mean, it's like my receptors kind of go down and my resistors kind of come up, and you know, I don't know. But he said, I went to heaven and the Lord showed me this huge mass of people that are coming in. And I'm just standing there at the entrance of heaven, and all these people that I recognize from our church, hundreds, even thousands of people coming in. He was just, man, it was overwhelming, the joy that was in my heart and my life. I saw it. And then all of a sudden, he said, I saw there was one man that got stopped and they turned him away. And he said, I recognized that man, and it grieved me. He said, in the time that I was there at the entrance of heaven, the time I was there, five men got turned away, and I recognized all of them from our church. And the pastor said, oh my gosh, he said, it was so heavy. He said, I recognized all five of them, and the Lord has instructed me to confront them. He said, Pastor, would you like to go with me? The pastor said, I'd prefer not to. Which I realized, that's a new page. I was ignorant. I didn't know I could say that. I've got a whole new page in my pastor manual. I prefer not to. But so anyway, the guy went and confronted those five men. Three of them repented, but all three of them said, I have had such a deep-seated unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart that I haven't been able to get over it. God, forgive me. I repent and I forgive that person. Three of them. The other two, individually, they weren't around. Both of them said the same exact thing. I will never forgive him. He hurt me so bad. I'm never going to get over it. I would rather go to hell than forgive him. Both those men said that. Neither of them repented. And so we think about next steps. You got to be around the right people. You can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You have to crucify your flesh daily. Yeah, I understand. People couldn't get here today because there was snow. But you know what? I'll just be frank with you. There's always something. There's always somebody that bugs you. There's always somebody that offends you. I may be that person. But see, I'm just telling you, I want to live my life where I'm unoffendable. You could be as offensive as you want to be. You can't offend me. I'm not taking that. It's real easy for me. You give me that soft toss, you throw that ball to me, it's real easy for me to bat it down. I do not have to catch every ball that's thrown my way. But see, what's the word going to do? Because the steps of our life are so vital to God. It's God's heart to make your next steps so clear and so definitive that you can't miss them, as easy as A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I. No. H, I. We can't skip a step. I'm telling you, with the things of God, we can't skip a step. Man, you look at the book of Proverbs, it's full of instruction about our next step and about our steps. Man, it's so clear to us. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And God delights in our way. Man, Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. So right here, man, three strong words. God directs, God orders, God establishes our steps. Say this with me. God directs, he orders, and establishes my steps. He directs, what else? He orders, he establishes my steps. See, we begin to say this, guess what? The fog that's in front of us, the distortion, man, the focus becomes clear. It becomes so definitive. If that's the cry of your heart, he lifts you out of the pit, horrible pit, out of the miry clay. How many guys have been in a horrible pit in your life and you just need next steps and get out? Man, he lifts you up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He sets your feet upon a rock. And then guess what? And then establishes your steps. See, God's called our life to be mobile. God's called us to be in motion. And then you know what? Our motion, man, begins to manage our emotion, rather than our emotions being managed by our emotion. See, I was just emotional. I didn't really mean that. I said that out of emotion. No, you did mean it, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. It just got by your filter. See, it's not just good enough to have a good filter. Your filter is not, it's not strong enough to keep all that out. No, you know what? You've got to ingest so much. Man, you got to frame your life on God's word. You got to keep it simple. Remember what the Bible says. It's so easy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you understand that quite possibly your delight over liquor, or your delight over gambling, or your delight over chocolate and sweets, or your delight over comfort food, or your delight over television or music or Clash of Goobers. No, I'm telling you, the delight of that might keep, if it runs parallel with your delight of the Lord, God's not going to share that stage, and you don't reach the desires of your heart. See, there's next steps. The first step, you have to crucify your flesh. And I need to say this, and then I'll close. See, you set your standard with God, and it's always within reach. It really is. Like my standard that I've set, it's never, oh my gosh, it's so far up there I can't even see it. No, I set it. I set this standard, and it's usually right here. As I live my life, on the other hand, the other side of this is hurt. Might be disappointment. It might mean neglect or rejection. So you've got this standard. I've set my standard right here with the Lord. But then this begins to build, this hurt on the other side. And as it starts getting close, almost level with my standard with God, now things get squirrely in my life because of the hurts and the disappointments and the rejection and the missteps and when I've stumbled. Men stray from their marriage. And what do we call that? They stumble. Well, see, God wants to widen the path beneath your feet so you never slip. Man, God tells you, look, you can live holy, perfect, never stumble. But all it is, if you're not worried about jumping and getting to Z, if you're not trying to take a leap of faith, if it's just a step of faith, man, I'd venture to say everyone in this room could walk to your truck leaving the service and not stumble. How many of you guys can commit to me today that you're going to be able to walk from this service and get to your truck and not stumble? How many of you guys? But you know what? Some of you guys, there may be a patch of ice. Our guys have done a great job on the sidewalks and everything, but you might have to pass some ice. Man, you see that? You gotta change your steps a little bit because it's icy. And see, sometimes life becomes treacherous. We don't stop. We just have to make sure our steps are what? Established. Make sure our steps are what? Sure. See, and as you get to that point where the hurt starts leveling off with the, and sometimes it exceeds it, but you know what? In order for me, what I have to do is not only lift this standard, but I got to get rid of some of this weight and this hurt and this rejection and this disappointment and this sorrow. I've got to lay it aside. Similar to your mortgage. Here's an easy next step for you. Paying off your house. You have a mortgage. That mortgage is front-loaded with interest. And there's people in here that know a lot more about this than me. But what I know of it, the front end of that mortgage is loaded with interest and a little bit of principal. The back end of that mortgage is either all principal or it's loaded with principal and very little interest. So what you want to do is you want to make your payment, which is mostly interest, and you want to add a payment. You're not adding a payment then to that next payment. They still want that next month. You're adding a payment to the end of the note, which is awesome because it's all principal. So now you're paying off your house being paid off is right here, and you're making your payments. So you're moving that ball toward that goal of paying off that mortgage. What if you started to pay an extra payment? And you may not be able to do it today. You may have to grow into this. But I'd venture to say by May, you could. By June, you could double up on your payments if you looked at how you spent your money. Most of the people in here. So now, here you are right here making your payments. Here is your goal of paying off your mortgage. You're making your payment and an extra payment. You're making your payment and an extra payment. You're making your payment and an extra payment. And this is moving faster than this because it's all principle. So you look at this, it's God's way of moving that goal closer to you. And I'm telling you, you begin to trust God. Man, there were a few years ago, the financial planner in our lives told me, and Sandy, I'd be comfortable if you guys had 6 months. Is that right? 6 months in reserve, 6 months of expenses of your home in reserve. I remember I heard that and thought, there's no way I could do that. I was at that time I'm paying two kids to go to college. It's like me, when I went to college, it was $18 a credit hour and I paid $35 a month for rent. My parents ended up spending about as much as I spend on books for me to get my whole education. But see, you look at it now and it's like, it's priced to the point where it's like, oh my gosh, well, you know what? It was just like a year later or a little bit over a year later, I asked Sandy, I said, how much is in our savings account? I never check. And she told me, I said, how many months is that? She told me, I was like, oh my gosh, that exceeds 6 months. We just started working toward that goal. And you know what God does? Speeds it up. God accelerates it for you. You talk to business guys. You talk to Joel. You talk to Bob. You talk to Kim. You talk to business guys in this room. You talk to Alan. You talk to business guys in this room. You know what? They set a goal. They serve God. He begins to what? Direct and order and establish their steps. And you know what God does? God accelerates it. See, God's not going to do what you can do. Like you come in, you go, I expect you to work a miracle, Pastor. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, it's all I got. But if I do what I do and let God do what he does, you know what God does? Miracles. Shear doesn't do miracles. Do I, Sandy? No. She's never seen me perform a miracle. I'm not the miracle man in my house. But you know what? He who's in me is. I rely on that. I crucify my flesh. I allow the God of miracles to take over in my life. And you know what he does? He accelerates this. He'll accelerate your recovery over that sickness. He'll accelerate you getting out of debt. He'll accelerate your marriage being happy and healthy and whole. But you know what? I've got to take my steps. I've got to do what he's called me to do. And that's next week. If I'm faithful in what's little, God's not asking me to do the heavy lifting. He's just asking me to do the little. If I do what's little, God will give me plenty. God will do great things in my life. God will put me before great men. But that's next Sunday. Next steps, who God is in our life. This is awesome, isn't it? Many are the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his step. God orders his steps. God establishes his steps.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.